Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the country, around the world. I'm George Norrie in for Art Bell, and tonight, this is Ghost to Ghost AM. Well, those evil spirits, call them what they may be, have done their darndest to crush Ghost to Ghost tonight. Gnawing through whatever might be left of Art Bell's phone lines, doing whatever they have to do. These evil entities started last night when Art was on the air. If you heard that show, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Everything that the master could try to do, everything, to fight off whatever evil spirits were out there to keep this show from going on the air. But it didn't work. And Art has relayed to me, because he cannot get on the air because those lines are down. George, he says, do the best you can with Ghost to Ghost. And get those entities that scare people, that attack people. And we will. In tribute tonight to Art Bell and his very infamous yearly Ghost to Ghost. That's what we shall do tonight. We shall carry the torch on Ghost to Ghost. So in a moment, I'll be giving you some special phone numbers, and I'm going to ask you something. Some quick stories of the day. Halloween is supposed to be a fun time for children, isn't it? But not for children in Italy. What a tragedy. An earthquake jolted southern Italy, sending a nursery school roof crashing down on a class of preschoolers who are having a little lunchtime Halloween party. Six children in the school and two women in nearby homes killed. A best-selling crime novelist, her name is Patricia Cornwell, thinks that she may have uncovered Jack the Ripper's DNA and that it could be a match for a British artist who liked to paint morbid scenes of violence against women. In an excerpt from her forthcoming book, Portrait of a Killer, Jack the Ripper, Case Closed, Cornwell says that the Ripper's DNA could be a match with the DNA of a Walter Sickert, an artist who used prostitutes as models and who painted scenes similar to the murders committed by the Ripper, a serial killer who terrorized London in the 1880s. Cornwell said she discovered that a letter Jack the Ripper claims to have written from Manchester on November 22nd, 1888, November 22nd, always an ominous day, isn't it? Had the same watermark stationery used by Walter and Ellen Sickert after their marriage 3 years earlier. Sickert, who died in 1942, was cremated, and no DNA of his exists except on some letters and envelopes whose stamps he had licked. They were compared with the DNA of the Ripper from taunting letters that he sent authorities. And she says that of the 55 samples tested, two had a sequence of numbers that came only from one person. And it could have been the artist, who could have been Jack the Ripper. And tonight, an Australian scientist is about to announce a breakthrough in DNA fingerprinting. He says he has found a way now to extract prints from single cells. Right now, you could use 200 to 500 cells. They're needed to produce enough material for a fingerprint. He says, I can do it now with one cell. Somebody can just touch a little piece of a corner of a piece of paper, and I can find out who did it. Christians in the United States have set up a hell house to help people find God. The house is in Redford, Michigan, featuring actors portraying scenes which aim to convince visitors that they can turn to God when life becomes tough and to stay away from the devil. In Raleigh, North Carolina, they haven't quite yet called in the Ghostbusters, but they're getting pretty darn close. The state has given the okay. The state of North Carolina has given the okay for a paranormal screening of the old state capitol. Staffers at the Capitol say they've heard floorboards creak and invisible footsteps, keys jangle and doors squeak open and shut. They say, to be honest with you, I've always made it a rule to be out of the building at quitting time, says the Capitol historian. I've had enough of those strange vibes here, and I don't like sticking around after it gets dark. They've called in the Ghost Research Foundation to use infrared cameras, electromagnetic field detectors, and audio recorders. The Capitol has gone through a number of night watchmen who simply say, one night of work, and we're through. And we're through. I'm going to tell you about a little legend here. The Piesod bird, said to have been flown of the great Father of Waters thousands of moons before the white man came, when the Mastodon were still living. The Piesod means the bird that devours men, or the bird of evil spirit. Now, in 1836, John Russell wrote The Legend of the Piesod Bird, a bird that many said frequented Alton, Illinois. Let me read you some of his legend. Before the village of the Illini, the mighty river swept to the south. The surrounding woods were rich with game. The bluffs and the mighty trees shielded the Illini from the harsh winds that sometimes swept in from the north. Their village was a secure and happy place. Chief of the Illini was Watoga. He was old and had led his tribe in the ways of peace and for most of his lifetime. Watoga and his people loved their home and the way of their life. Then one morning, as the sun began to climb towards the summit of its cloudless sky, terror touched the Illini. The village stirred. A number of younger braves were leaving on an early morning fishing expedition. Some were already on the river in their canoes, others preparing to embark, when suddenly the very earth seemed to shudder with the sound of an alien scream. Out of the western sky came a gigantic flying monster. Its body was the size and shape of a horse. Long white fangs stabbed upward from the protruding lower jaw, and flames leaped from its nostrils. Two white deer-like horns angled wickedly from its head. Its huge wings pounded their air with such force that the trees bent. Its stubby legs held dagger-like talons, and its spiked tail wound around the grotesque body three times. Almost before the braves realized their danger, the beast, soon to be named the Piesod Bird, swooped across the beach and carried one of the braves away. From that moment on, the Illini were terrorized by this incredible and bloodthirsty monster. And each morning and afternoon thereafter, the Piesod Bird came, shattering the peace of the village with its blood-chilling screams and the thunderous beat of its wings. More often than not, it returned to its lair with another victim. The Illini looked to their chief, Watoga, for a solution to this menace. Time and time again, he had led them through the trials of famine, illness, and the threat of warlike tribes. But Watoga felt helpless before this danger, and the years weighed heavily upon him. This beast seemed invulnerable. His body was covered with scales, like a coat of armor. The best efforts of the arrow maker of the tribe and the tribe's finest archers were to no avail. Watoga appealed to the Great Spirit. For nearly a full moon, he prayed and he fasted. Then in a dream, he found the answer. The body of the Piesod Bird was not protected under the wings. After offering thanks to the Great Spirit, Watoga called the tribe together and devised a plan that could destroy the Piesod Bird. All that the arrow maker had to do was sharpen arrowheads, painted them with poison while the tribe fasted and prayed. And that night, Watoga and six of the finest braves crept to the top of the high bluff overlooking the great Fathers of Water. When dawn came, only Watoga was visible, standing straight and firm in the full view. The braves were hidden nearby beneath a rock ledge, their bows ready. Suddenly, the scream of the Piesod Bird broke the silence, and the winged monster swept into view. Immediately, it sighted Watoga. And with what seemed like a shriek of delight, it pounced as it did. Watoga fell to the ground, grasping the strong roots that grew there, the pain of the talons sinking into his flesh inspired him to grip the roots even more tightly. As the Piesod Bird raised its great wings in an effort to carry off its victim, the six braves stepped from their hiding place and shot six poisoned arrows into the unprotected place beneath the beast's wings. Again and again, the bird raised its wings to fly, but Watoga held fast And each time, six poisoned arrows drove into the bird's vulnerable spot. Finally, the poison did its job. With a scream of agony, the Piesa bird released its hold on Watoga and plunged down the bluff to disappear forever in the swift waters of the great river. And now, carefully, tenderly, the Braves carried Watoga to his teepee, where in time he was nursed back to health. Then a great celebration was held in the camp of the Illini. The next day, the arrow maker mixed paints and, carrying them to the bluff, painted a picture of the Piesa bird in tribute to the victory of Watoga and the Illini. And every time that an Indian passed the painting, he shot an arrow in salute to the bravery of Watoga and the deliverance from the Piesa bird. And the Piesa bird continues to fly now over the city of Olton, Illinois. And now, your scary stories, your chilling stories, entities that perhaps have attacked you. The phone numbers for you tonight on this very special Ghost to Ghost: 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers, 541-665-0520. The wildcard line, 541-665-0521. International callers, 800-893-0903. And the special line, because so many of you want to talk about your chilling stories, shall be open tonight as well. 541-665-3880. In a moment, Ghost to Ghost on Coast to Coast. My favorite radio is a radio that will pick up Coast to Coast and Ghost to Ghost and all your favorite radio shows. It's made by the company that I truly admire, the Sea Cream Company. And the radio is, of course, guess. You don't have to guess because you know. It's the CC Radio Plus. It's the AM/FM TV weather radio. It's $159.95, and that price includes U.S. shipping. The CC Radio Plus is the most sensitive AM radio made today. Your favorite news, talk, and sports programs will come in clear, and you will pick up more stations than ever before. The CC Radio Plus is simply the best radio for people that really listen to radio, people who love radio. Some of the features: AM and FM TV audio. You can literally hear TV stations through your CC Radio Plus. And weather radio reception with a weather alert. So if there's a bulletin, you've got it right there. It's got a digital clock, a great, great speaker, and a simple one-button station memory. You can use batteries or a power cord. And maybe, just maybe for one moment, you're just not ready to order the CC Radio Plus. Well, you should be. But it's okay. Call the Sea Crane Company and say, why don't you just give me a free catalog? They'll do that too. And they won't ever contact you again or put you on their private mailing list unless you ask them. And that's a promise. Why don't you call the Sea Crane Company? They'll have people manning the phones at 6:30 a.m. Pacific time at 1-800-522-8863. The number again for the CC Radio Plus, a great radio, or for a free Sea Crane catalog: 1-800-522-8863, or go to the web at ccradio.com.
Okay, I'm at the age where it seems like I hate my parents. But when they say,
we want to know who's going to be there,
and I say, leave me alone, I don't really mean it. Without parental supervision, I'm much more likely to smoke pot and stuff. So when they say,
we need to know,
and I say,
none of your business,
I'm really hoping my parents don't try to act like my friends. What I really need is parents.
Talk, know, ask. Parents, the anti-drug. For more information, call 1-800-788-2800.
Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
TV Land presents Jerry Seinfeld on Research.
Viewers felt that Jerry needed a better backup ensemble. Can you imagine a better backup ensemble in the world than those three people?
From the archives of 60 Minutes, TV Land brings you TV Land Legends, the 60 Minutes interviews, featuring Jerry Seinfeld, Johnny Carson, Jackie Gleason, and Carol Burnett. This Sunday, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern and Pacific, only on TV Land.
How would you like to increase your investment returns? Today, world tensions, rising oil prices, and stock market uncertainties, more and more people are turning to gold to protect and grow their savings and retirement accounts. Reports are everywhere. Forbes, CNBC, The Wall Street Journal, even Merrill Lynch. Big money is moving to gold. And that's why gold investments outperformed all stock funds in 2001. And that's why even Art Bell has Lear Financial managing his own gold investments. As a satisfied client, he encourages you to call Lear Financial at 1-800-474-4259 to see how you too can protect and grow your own savings and retirement account. If you call 1-800-474-4259 now and mention Coast to Coast, you'll also get Lear's audio seminar titled Why the Experts Picked Gold in 2002, a $29 value, the guide, the tape are free. But the offer is limited, so call 1-800-474-4259. That's 1-800-474-4259. Welcome back to Ghost to Ghost tonight. By the way, that special line is for those of you who have had entities attack you. So let's keep that line open only for those who have had entities attack you. The other line's available for your very chilling, scary ghost stories. You know, I don't like going to cemeteries. Never did. There's just something about a cemetery that just scares me. It just really does. Daytime, nighttime, I don't like them. I've been to them. Oh, I've honored people that I have cared about over the years, but I just don't care about them. But about 2 years ago, I went to a cemetery. A dear friend of mine died of cancer. Horrible death for him. And they had buried him, and I went back about a year later. I was alone in the cemetery. It was getting late. The sun was almost down. And I said, well, George, it's about time you start making your way to your car. And as I was, I heard a voice. Now, I looked around. There was nobody there. Not a caretaker. Nobody working on the cemetery plots. Nothing. I heard in my ear, as close as I am to you right now on this microphone, George, George. I looked around, no one. It scared me for a moment, just for a moment, until I really felt and really believed that maybe indeed it was my friend. And I got back in my car, and that never happened to me again. And to me, that was a chilling story for me in my life. Now let's start Coast to Coast with Ghost to Ghost. We'll go to first time caller. You are on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the program.
Hello there.
Hi there. Where are you calling from?
Springfield in Ohio.
All right. Now what do you got for us tonight? Proceed.
Okay. This incident happened with me just after I got out of high school, and I gotten a summer job working on an Amish farm, because even though they don't use them, they will hire people to run their tractors and stuff.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, tractor broke down about midsummer, and I wound up using their mules and the harness and had trouble with it occasionally. Well, the one day this older gentleman is helping me with the harness to get it right, and afterwards, part of my payment was, you know, I got meals and stuff with families. Well, while I'm having dinner that night, I asked about the gentleman where he was. And they asked who I was talking about, and I told him the gentleman is painting in the hallway. I said I was interested in the pocket watch he had used, because that's the only timepieces they are allowed, is pocket
mm-hmm.
watch.
Right.
Well, that's when they all went a little bit quiet. Because they informed me that was the lady's father, but that he had passed away 5 years before.
Oh. How'd you feel after that?
Well, with some of the things in my life, I've gotten used to that. I've had several instances over my life involving ghosts.
I'll tell you, that is not a scary story, but I'm telling you it is a chilling story because you did see the entity, did you not? Wildcard caller, welcome to Coast to Coast. With Ghost to Ghost, you're on the air. Hi.
George, how you doing?
Doing great.
Hope the poltergeists aren't out there bugging us tonight.
They'll be there. I can feel them.
I had two things happen to me, but the worst of, you were talking attacks,
mm-hmm.
was in North Georgia. Do you know where Brasstown Bald is?
How close is that to Augusta?
Long way.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah,
I do not know where that is.
North Georgia Mountains.
Okay.
I decided, I was camping one weekend, and I decided to drive up to Brasstown Bald, which was just a few miles away. So I hiked to the top of the mountain, and I was up there taking photos. And on the way back down, I walked through this little pathway, and I guess the pathway was about 100 yards long.
Uh-huh.
And I heard a rumble. Couldn't figure it out. It was coming from everywhere.
Like what kind of a rumble? Like an earthquake rumble?
No. Very low frequency rumble.
All right.
Rumble. And the ground was vibrating. It was beginning to bug me because, you know, I've been camping. I've seen some weird things, heard strange things, but this was coming from everywhere.
Yeah.
Could not tell what it was, but I was alone. It was very dark, very late at night. And I was walking through this path. I stopped to think, okay, maybe it's my imagination.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't.
Uh-oh.
I put my hand to the ground, and the whole ground was vibrating.
See, I would think it would be an earthquake. I would think this is it.
Well, I was on top of a mountain, and that didn't occur to me. What did occur to me was maybe it was a natural phenomenon, like an underground pipeline
mm-hmm,
or something like
mm-hmm.
that. But I decided, well, I'm about 100 yards into this thing, in this pathway, and maybe I ought not be where I was at. So I decided to leave. As I turned around, I saw two yellow-green eyes staring at me in the bushes.
Oh.
I hauled.
You know what? My feet would be flying.
They were.
Flying. They were. Two yellow eyes. I don't know what they were, an animal or a beast or a ghost, but it doesn't matter. I'm out of there. In a moment, I'll be back. And your ghost-to-ghost stories all night long. This is Art Bell's Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Don't touch your dial.
Checking WHAM's radar weather for the remainder of the overnight. We're going to find some wet snow off and on. A little bit of lake effect snow developing through Genesee and Wyoming County. That's where most of the accumulation is going to be. Maybe an inch or two by morning. Temperature dropping into the lower 30s. Friday, blustery, turning colder. Occasional snow showers. Again, a small accumulation. Most of the day is going to be spent in the 30s. Friday night, we may find some heavier lake effect snow coming in off of Lake Ontario for Wayne County. Several inches possible. Temperature is going to be dropping through the 20s. This is WHAM NASOS 13 meteorologist Glenn Johnson.
Car repair doesn't have to be intimidating.
Hesitating, doing like 35 miles an hour.
In fact, it can be downright fun.
One of the things you might want to try if it's hesitating, throw the thing into reverse right away.
Okay.
And it takes the transmission.
All right. No, do I warn the guy behind me or no?
No, because chances are we're going to get him as a customer.
The WHAM Car Show with Tony and Steve Savant.
You have all these people throwing their car in reverse at 30 miles an hour now.
Saturday mornings at 10. On WHAM.
Should you come out to Finger Lakes Racetrack this fall or stay at home? Out of the gates, come on up, jumps to an early lead, powered by the chance to wager on up to 10 thoroughbred races a day, while stay at home is raking waves into the first turn. Down the backstretch they go, stay at home, looks tired after cleaning out the gutters, and come on up, pulls ahead, boasted by simulcast racing and on track. stop watching football on TV. Oh, my, it's come on out. It's stay at home. Stay at home and come on out. Watch, look at this. Come on out. Answers with the Sunday Ticket featuring all the NFL games via satellite. With specials and beer and wings. It's come on out. Pulling away with free admission and free parking. It's come on out. Going away.
Finger Lakes Racetrack. You bet it's fun. Spend a beautiful fall afternoon enjoying the sport of kings. Gates open 11 o'clock. Post time 12:15.
Nobody knows more about your hardwood floor than Harman.
Harman Hardwood Floors presents Ask the Experts. Helpful hints from the pros at Harman.
Transition strips, wood registers, and accent strips. They can be the difference between average and extraordinary when it comes to the look of your finished hardwood floor project. These hard-to-find items add decorating flair and are always in stock here at Harman. You'll find other installation helpers such as slip tongues for joining two grooved sections of flooring and the largest variety of wood fillers that'll match your flooring perfectly. These professional touches will make a dramatic difference in the look of your home.
For the very best selection and advice on your hardwood flooring project, visit Harman Hardwood Floor's spacious, no-nonsense, no-pressure showroom at 29 Hubbard Street at the end of Trinidad across from the Public Market downtown. Or call 546-1221 for more information.
Harman Hardwood Floor.
Call 546-1221 and speak with a Harman Hardwood Flooring expert today.
Coast to Coast AM, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
So what are we going to do now that summer's over and the slopes aren't open yet?
Well, I know one thing for sure. Lisa and I are going to Rochester InfoCourse's Discover You Fair at Irondequoit Mall.
What's a Discover You Fair?
It's an exhibition of everything mind, body, and spirit. Lisa's really looking forward to meeting all the psychics and image consultants, not to mention all the jewelry, clothing, and book vendors. I'm going for the Reiki healers and massage therapists. Maybe they can put this old body back together before the skiing season begins.
Rochester InfoCourse's? You know, I took an acupuncture course there, and it really worked wonders for me. I know what you mean about aches and pains. Maybe Kathy and I can tag along with you guys. They might even give us a group discount.
Actually, the demonstrations and admission are free, and they have door prizes, too. I want to win the two free round-trip tickets from AirTran Airlines. Lisa can't object to our Florida fishing trip if airfare is free.
True, but who gets the other ticket?
Join all of the mind, body, and spirit professionals for Rochester InfoCourse's Discover You Fair at Irondequoit Mall Friday and Saturday, November 8th and 9th from 10 a.m. till 9:30 p.m. and Sunday, November 10th from 11 a.m. till 6 p.m. For more information, check us out online at infocourses.com or give us a call at 585-256-1960.
Morals, values, ethics, and principles. It's Dr. Laura, 9 till 11 on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Riders on the storm. Riders of the storm, into this house we're born, into this world we're thrown, like a dog without a bone, an actor out alone. Riders on the storm, there's a killer on the road.
George Norrie. From east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, call 1-800-618-8255. And the wildcard line is open at area code 541-665-0521. First-time callers may reach George at area code 541-665-0520. And now, filling in for Art Bell, here's George Norrie.
You know, I'm getting emails from around the country right now. People saying, George, I can't believe this. But ever since Ghost to Ghost started tonight, temperatures in our region are starting to plummet. Plummet. All around the country. What's happening tonight? Let me tell you for a moment about the After Dark newsletter. You get 14 issues for the price of 12. Once you call and order it, it'll take a couple weeks for you to get into the system, so don't expect it like the next day. But You should start getting it then on a regular monthly basis. After dark, here's a phone number for that. 1-888-727-5505. 1-888-727-5505. After dark, part of Coast to Coast. The November issue is being mailed as I speak. And by the way, if you want to buy some of your very favorite Coast to Coast programs, well, here's a phone number for that. They're toll-free here. 1-800-917-4278. 1-800-917-4278.
The After Dark newsletter has been reporting subjects that we talk about right here on the show. And just like the show, After Dark has been evolving and changing and keeping folks guessing. You never know what you're going to get next, but it's always a lot of fun. Give yourself a treat and subscribe. Just log on to my website, artbell.com. Go to the library link on the left. You'll find the After Dark link in the menu there. Click and you can subscribe on the secure server. Or call any time of the day or night, toll free, 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505 for only $39.95. You'll receive this four-color magazine every month for a year. Subscribe right now and you'll get two free issues, 14 for the price of 12. Subscribe online at artbell.com or call right now, 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505.
Have you ever looked at the moon through a telescope? How about Saturn? Maybe Jupiter? If you have not, you're missing out. There's something very magical about looking into space with your very own telescope. And when you're exploring the surface of the moon, you are viewing an object that is a quarter of a million miles away. Think about it. A quarter of a million miles. Absolutely amazing. And with one phone call to Hardin Optical, you can have your very own Deep Space Hunter telescope right in time for the holidays and begin to see the magic yourself. For $299 plus shipping and handling, why don't you call 1-800-394-3307 or order your telescope online at for the nightsky.com. There's nothing to compare with your first view of Saturn through your very own telescope. With that very own telescope, you can view galaxies, nebulas, and some of those are trillions of miles away. It does boggle the mind, huh? The power of a Hardin optical telescope. Experience the wonders of outer space with your own Deep Space Hunter telescope from Hardin Optical. Just $299 plus shipping and handling. 1-800-394-3307. Or go online at forthenightsky.com. And don't forget to ask about our new catalog. That's 1-800-394-3307. Or forthenightsky.com.
Do you want to melt away excess body fat and trim those unwanted inches without strict dieting or even strenuous exercise? Now it is possible with Ultimate Slim, the all-natural, scientifically designed formula to metabolize your fat into energy. Ultimate Slim helps block carbohydrates and fat absorption, reduce sugar cravings, lose water weight within minutes. You're going to feel more energetic without any nervous side effects. Within days, you're going to start losing inches and your clothes are going to be looser. Within weeks, your waist will be thinner and you'll be ready for the holidays. Ultimate Slim is perfect if you want a lean, sexy body, but you don't have time for a lot of calorie counting or long, sweaty workouts. Just ask Will, my board operator. He lost 60 pounds with Ultimate Slim. What are you waiting for? Burn fat the quick and easy way with Ultimate Slim. Order two bottles of Ultimate Slim and get two more absolutely free. That's 50% off. Plus, you're going to also receive the Healthy Eating Guide and Cookbook, a $20 value, absolutely free. So call right now. 1-800-557-4627. Not available in stores. Ultimate Slim is guaranteed to work or you get your money back. 1-800-557-4627. That's 1-800-557-4627.
And welcome back to Ghost to Ghost. I'm George Norrie in for Art Bell tonight. Art wanted to be on so much this night, but they've got his phone lines. Without phone lines, you can't have much of a talk show, and definitely not a ghost-to-ghost show. And I am now convinced that there are evil spirits trying to suppress that show, but it is not going to happen tonight. That special line, by the way, for those of you who want it for entity attacks, 541-665-3888. 800-480-8780. As a matter of fact, let's go out to Mark in Colorado on the special line. You're on Ghost to Ghost. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hi, Mark.
I've listened to the show for many, many years. And as a matter of fact, I was one of the last callers Dart had yesterday before the lines went screwy.
Ah, I heard you.
Oh, okay.
or at least pieces of you.
Yes, I know. I tried three or four times, and all of a sudden I got hung up. And, of course, I had one of these real gadget-type evil cell phones there that allowed me fast dialing, and I got back in. But I've been married 30 years. But when I first got married, we lived in a little town about 25 miles north of Denver called Fort Lupton.
Yes.
And we got a little basement apartment. I had like five apartments in this one great-looking old house, and it was just wonderful at the time. And as a kid, I lived in the basement in my own house there. And so it didn't mean much to me at all, and nothing different. But after we were married, we moved in there and, set up a cozy little house, a little studio apartment, and we all had to share a common bathroom. And we had to walk through the furnace room on the basement to get up to it. And
yes.
Duck under a couple of ducks and all that. And things were fine, but a few weeks later, my wife was acting strange. And I said, well, what's the problem? And she didn't really want to talk too much about it. I probably think she was crazy. But she said, there's someone in the furnace room. I said, well, someone in the furnace room. I walked back in there. At first, I didn't see anything. And then on my way out, I saw something that, in one of the corners back there, that it was like liquid black.
Oh, my.
With red glowing eyes.
Red glowing eyes.
Grapes, and I took out of there and I locked the door. I said, you're right. There is something back there. So we talked about it and didn't do a whole lot, except for later on, I'd worked, this is before I went over the road, I'm a truck driver, by the way. And,
right, right.
And then I noticed something else strange, too. Well, after a couple of three more months came by, well, of course, after we were first married, I found out that she was pregnant. Okay, but things were not going right.
Don't tell me this is a Rosemary's Baby story.
No, unfortunately, no. This didn't work right. And so, well, she just was always on edge all the time and very tense. And then I came home one day, and she was crying on the steps of this little church right around the corner, and it had a long flight of steps up to the front door, and she was just crying and crying. I says, what's the problem? She said, I'm just scared to death. I got to move out of here. And I said, well, what's the problem? She said, I hear a pattern of hooves, and I see red eyes looking at me. And
uh-oh.
I go, whoa. And so she was just so scared to death. All of a sudden, she started bleeding and spotting and like that. And before long, she had a miscarriage.
Oh, no.
We lost our first
daughter.
Oh,
no. My God.
She was so scared of this. And we had to move in there very shortly. We moved out. And this was just incredible. I'm not much scared of nothing. I'm 6'4", 235, and guess what? Nothing much scares me, you know, at least something like this. Not that I can't put my hands on. But every time we went back into the apartment, she'd lock that door, and she had to use other means to go to the bathroom. And this is kind of embarrassing, but she held it, and she lost the baby.
Jeez. Now that is an unfortunate, but chilling story. Thanks for your call on that, Mark.
All right, thanks a lot, George.
Oh, my. What an ending to a story like that. Let's go west of the Rockies. Welcome to Ghost, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, where are you calling from?
Calling from Kerman, California.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to talk about a few years ago, about 4 years ago, I bought a little one-bedroom place, and I noticed when I first moved in there, you know, little strange things happened here and there. like I would screw in a light bulb and it would totally combust. And then, you know, I'd be in a back room and I'd hear my front door open and slam. And
nobody else was in the house?
Nobody else was there at all. And lights would turn on and off by themselves. And I wouldn't ever really hear anything, you know, or, you know, see anything doing these things. And, one night, I had at the time my daughter was 2 years old. And,
well, somebody then was in the house, your daughter.
Well, she wasn't there a lot of the time. She would, be with relatives or visiting or.
Okay.
And, like I said earlier, it was a one-bedroom place, and she was in the back room sleeping. And I was in the front living room, and I was watching the movie, and I hear her screaming and screaming and screaming. So I ran back there, and it was all dark, and I grabbed her, and she was just shaking so bad and just screaming and crying. And she was staring at the corner in the room, the dark corner, and she kept saying that the man was going to get her. The man was going to get her.
And she could still see something.
Yeah. She was staring at something like it was there, pointing there, saying the man was going to get her.
And you could not see anything then?
I did not see anything. So I turned on all the lights through the house, walked her everywhere. There was, you know, made sure there was nothing there. And not too long after that, a neighbor of mine told me that, because I was asking around why I got the place for so cheap. A neighbor of mine told me a guy died there in the house. And he died in the back corner of the room where my daughter was pointing at.
Oh, right in the same spot.
In the exact same spot. And he died a horrible death. He wasn't found for days, almost a week, I think. And, that wasn't the last of it.
That's unbelievable.
Well, about a month after that happened, I was walking through my hallway. I had a really small hallway. And off to the side, the right, was the entrance into my bathroom. And I was just walking, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw, like, a black figure. You could tell it was a person, like a silhouette. It was all black. And I turned and looked real quick, and it was there for, like, a split second, and it disappeared. And all my shelves and everything came falling off my walls.
It was there. Something was there.
It was there. I couldn't see a face. I couldn't make out any features, but it would look like a silhouette. It was all black. And so I moved, I didn't move out then.
Well, you should have.
Well, it's kind of funny that, you know, after that happened, I'd come home, you know, whatever, and little things would still be happening here and there, nothing that severe. And I started talking to him. I found out his name.
How did you find out? Well, obviously, you knew that you died there, so you asked some people.
I asked the lady that I bought the place from. I asked her, I said, okay, who was this that died there? And she said it was her brother, and she told me his name. And then I started talking to him, like if I noticed, like, you know, flashing the lights, I'd tell him, okay, Richard, not now, I don't want to, you know.
Knock it off, Richard, yeah.
And he would stop, and you know what, he became nice. He would, like, if I left somewhere and I come home, and it'd be late and dark, my porch light would be on. He'd leave it on for me.
Did he ever hurt you, ever?
Not physically, no.
What do you mean, not physically?
Just, you know, I mean, I was scared, you know, when I saw those things.
His little mental games.
Yeah, but,
And how long did you stay there?
I lived there for almost a year. And, after I sold my place, I found out that I guess a couple other people have already lived there and moved out because of weird occurrences.
Well, you're lucky somehow you were smart enough to get his name and start using that, because that's probably what at least got him from doing anything to harm you or maybe even your little girl. Next up, East of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Are you there?
Yes, I am. Where are you calling from?
Oh, I'm in Grenada, Mississippi.
Grenada, Mississippi. Go for it. What are you going to chill us with tonight?
Oh, well, I got a very interesting story, somewhat. You scared
right.
the hell out of me.
Well, let's try on us.
First of all, I want to tell you, Happy Halloween.
Thank you.
I enjoy your show very much. I listen to you all the time. Back when I was 17, I was living with my sister.
Okay.
And we were living in this house that was built in the 18th. hundreds. I'm not sure the exact date, but it was over 100 years old then. The history of the house said that apparently it was used as a hospital during the Civil War or something like that.
Was it a creepy house?
No, it wasn't. It was a great big old house, though. It had like 12 rooms in it. And it was a two-story house, and I used to stay up in the second floor. It was where my room was. Nobody else stayed up there with me because I was, the only one.
Yeah.
And I used to wake up hearing boards creak, and stuff like that, and sound like people walking around upstairs, and I knew nobody was up there but me.
Well, but you're probably thinking, it's an old house, so it's...
Yeah, I thought maybe just the boards were creaking, settling, whatever. But it happened so often, and then one night, the one that scared me the most, that happened on a couple occasions, I was asleep, and I was awoken by a presence, you just know somebody's there. And it was dark, and I look around, and it looked like a silhouette. In the mirror.
In the mirror.
Yeah, and I was like, who's in my room, I you wake up in this feeling and you're like, who's in my room,
Yeah.
And I trying to peer in the dark and see them, and this house was very dark. And turned the light on, and nobody there.
Well, this silhouette, though, I mean, could you clearly see it in the mirror?
It was like a shadow. Like seeing a shadow. It was kind of weird. It really freaked me out. I was scared as hell the first time, so I kind of blew it off, and it happened again, and I actually felt like somebody was walking through the room. And
probably was.
Yeah, and I was freaking out, and I turned the light on, and there would be nobody there. I mean, you could just swear that somebody was standing in the room looking at you, or just, looking at themselves in the mirror or something. They really just used to trip me out. And the house had a history of folks dying in it. There's another story that my brother-in-law, he one time, they had flour all over the kitchen floor and seen tracks in it.
I've heard chilling stories like that. And again, I mentioned one several months ago of a car that was at a railroad crossing, and it moved across the tracks. And apparently a little boy had been hit by a train there, and somebody wanted to find out, because this was happening to a lot of cars, that they would stop on or near the tracks just to try things out, and the vehicle would be slowly pushed over the tracks just to get the people out of harm's way. And somebody put talcum powder on the rear bumper. And sure enough, after the car moved over the tracks, he went outside and looked at the bumper. And in the talcum powder were imprints of two little hands. Kid you not. Let's go to our special phone line now. You are on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Where are you calling from?
I'm in Tennessee right now.
Okay. Chill
Hello?
Us. Chill us with your story.
It's been 30 years since I brought this up. It happened to me when I was a child. I grew up in Southern California, and my father was a mover in mm-hmm. Beverly Hills in Santa Monica, and I was able to be fortunate enough to go with him on his job on the weekend sometimes. And when I was about 8 years old, we were at Gypsy Rose Lee's house. Right after she passed away.
Right.
My dad was packing the house for storage, wherever, I don't know where the furniture or anything went. But I was playing in the house. He was in a different room, and I was actually in her bedroom. And he had all the packing paper. Wow, I'm nervous. he had all the packing paper and the tape and the marking pens and the boxes uh-huh. all laid out. And the room got really cold, and I became disoriented, and I couldn't find the doors. It wasn't like a mist, but I was just dizzy.
And you were panicking, too, I bet.
Right. Well, I'm feeling the same way talking about it right now. I haven't said anything after it happened other than to my father. But I started screaming when it got cold, and a roll of packing tape actually slid off the edge of the little table that he was using to keep his materials on.
Right.
And it flew at me, and I started screaming, and just the packing paper started blowing around.
And oh, my.
Ran into the room, and he's Hungarian.
Yeah.
Apparently she was, too, and he was screaming and hollering Hungarian and basically told her to knock it off.
Did she stop?
It stopped, and the room got warm, and I went to the truck, and I didn't come back to my house.
Jeez. The ghost?
And, he said it all week long that happened.
Unbelievable. The ghost of Gypsy Rose Lee. I'm George Norrie in for Art Bell tonight, and this is Ghost to Ghost on Coast to Coast AM. We'll be back in a moment.
With these eyes before, just what the truth is, I can't say anymore, 'cause I love you.
Every week, over a half a million people listen to Clear Channel radio stations in Rochester. You're listening to one right now. News Radio 1180 WHAM. But when your mood changes, try another Clear Channel station, like 95.1 The Nerve. When you're in the mood for something a little different, skip past tired old CMF. And turn on Rochester's number one rock station. The Nerve.
Without Charlie Rowe, the memories you cherish today just might not exist. Over 100 years ago, Charlie Rowe opened Rowe Photographic and began saving the memories of your grandfather and grandmother. Your mother as a baby, your father as a young man, even you. You as a baby and a teenager and a newlywed and a mom and a dad. And as you go down the road towards grandparenthood, Rowe Photographic, now Rowe Photo, Video, and Audio, remains in the memory business. We're all in the memory business. We remember that first car and the first date, the junior prom and the senior ball. We remember weddings and babies. And isn't it glorious? We have photos and videotapes, old sepia-toned shots of grandparents, maybe even that one of you as a two-year-old in the tub. For well over 100 years now, Rowe Photo, Video, and Audio has been the keeper of the flame. We still are. Rowe Photo, Video, and Audio, 1737 Mount Hope Avenue, and Rowe on the Ridge, Buckman's Plaza in Greece.
You can bet on it on TV.
Racing has been a vital part of the sporting scene in Western New York for many years. Western Regional Off-Track Betting Corporation is proud to bring the best of racing to communities throughout the region. OTV simulcasts local and national races 7 days a week. As a nonprofit agency, all the monies that OTV raises are paid to local governments. OTV helps the racing industry with payment to the racetracks, to the local breeding funds, as well as the state of New York. OTV, a vital business serving Western New York.
Be in the know. Follow the leader. News Radio 1180, WHAM Rochester.
A Clear Channel radio station.
CBS News. I'm Jim Shenevy. Four states have now filed murder charges against sniper suspects John Muhammad and Lee Malvo. Louisiana joining the list Thursday after linking a September shooting death to the rifle used in the Washington area attacks. Baton Rouge Police Chief Pat Englade.
Comparisons by the Louisiana State Police Crime Lab have now positively linked the .223 caliber bullet used to murder Miss Ballinger with the weapon used in several of the D.C. area sniper killings.
The woman was shot to death as she left a beauty shop where she worked in an apparent robbery. Englade says evidence found in D.C. also indicates Muhammad and Malvo were in Baton Rouge on the day of the crime. A major indictment from a federal grand jury in Houston in the Enron case. Andrew Fastow, former CFO of the energy giant, has been charged with fraud and money laundering. CBS News reporter Stephanie Lambidakis.
Fastow has been indicted on 78 counts, including wire fraud, money laundering, conspiracy, and obstruction of justice. The indictment parallels the earlier charges that Fastow was the alleged mastermind of Enron's scheme to inflate profits and hide massive losses, all this to enrich himself and others.
The judge in the Microsoft antitrust case will issue her her long-awaited rulings Friday. CBS News legal consultant Andrew Cohen.
Everyone's got an opinion about what the judge is going to announce in her ruling, but the fact is that the people who know aren't talking, and the people who are talking don't know. Judge Kolar Kotelli has taken a long time to get to this point, but that doesn't automatically mean she's rejected the Microsoft settlement.
The nation's two largest direct satellite television programming companies won't be merging anytime soon. The Justice Department now filing a lawsuit to stop the EchoStar Hughes merger, which could bring together Dish Network and DirecTV. Correspondent Howard Arenstein.
The companies tried to salvage the satellite TV marriage with promotional videos.
Benefits from the EchoStar Hughes merger will allow all Americans to receive their local broadcast channels.
And with a proposal to help a rival, but the Justice Department said no.
We're going to try the case in court.
Assistant Attorney General Charles James says 23 states are joining forces to stop the merger.
We think that consumers potentially will be injured substantially by the lessening of competition that's caused by this transaction.
The government wants DirecTV and Dish Network to remain separate. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
The death toll from that nursery school collapse in south central Italy is up to 22. Most of the victims were kids attending a Halloween party when an earthquake hit. Correspondent Randall Pinkston.
Desperate parents began a vigil around the school where they prayed for the safety of their sons and daughters. Heavy lifting equipment was brought in, but it soon became obvious that the rescuers would have to remove the rubble by hand, tile by tile, bucket by bucket, to avoid the pile collapsing on survivors. The bodies of the dead were removed. The rescuers comforted each other.
It was just a 5.4 magnitude quake, considered moderate by seismologists. This is CBS News.
I love listening to radio so much, we started Sea Crane Company. Hi, this is Bob Crane, and if you love listening to radio, let me tell you about our brand new CC Radio Plus. The CC Radio will pick up more stations than you ever had before, and the stations you listen to now will come in clearer. And the sound is rich and truthful for the best human voice possible. And I personally guarantee that the CC Radio is the best radio you can own for news, information, and sports. You can learn more about the CC Radio by getting our free catalog that tells all about the CC Radio and dozens of other unique items. You can give us a call right now at 800-522-8863 or on the web at ccradio.com.
The CC Radio Plus is just $159.95, and that includes shipping. That number again, for more information or a free Sea Crane catalog, is 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-8863 and on the web at ccradio.com.
3 Mile Island. It's been 20 years since that nuclear power plant got out of control. Experts continue to look for fallout. Cammy McCormick reports on a new study of cancer rates.
The study looked at health records of more than 31,000 people living near 3 Mile Island when the accident occurred.
I would hope that it would be good news to most of the individuals living there.
The University of Pittsburgh's Evelyn Talbot says the 20-year study found
there does not appear to be an overall increase in cancer deaths among residents in the 5 mile radius of the 3 Mile Island.
Only a slightly elevated risk of lymphatic and blood cancers among men, which may need more study. And more good news, this latest research discounted earlier findings of higher breast cancer rates in the area. Cammy McCormick, CBS News.
Martha Stewart's OmniMedia reported a sharp drop in quarterly earnings Thursday. Its namesake CEO acknowledging her legal problems over alleged inside trading are affecting the company. OmniMedia also warning fourth quarter profits will be well below Wall Street expectations. Jim Shenavy, CBS News.
Recognized as the best by the Radio Television News Directors Association with the prestigious Edward R. Murrow Award for Best Newscast. The Wham! 5 o'clock news hour.
Checking WHAM's radar weather for the remainder of the overnight. We're going to find some wet snow off and on. A little bit of lake effect snow developing through Genesee and Wyoming County. That's where most of the accumulation is going to be. Maybe an inch or two by morning. Temperature dropping into the lower 30s. Friday, blustery, turning colder, occasional snow showers. Again, a small accumulation. Most of the day is going to be spent in the 30s. Friday night, we may find some heavier lake effect snow coming in off of Lake Ontario for Wayne County. Several inches possible. Temperature's going to be dropping through the 20s. This is Wham! News Source 13 meteorologist Glenn Johnson.
He's Bob Lonsberry, and this is his town.
We got the globalization of the world. No, we don't. We have the United States of friggin' America. That's the way it is. As soon as you spell that out, you can just kiss your freedoms goodbye. Well, but the Constitution is old, Bob. Yeah, it still works, buddy.
You know comic books, the X-Men? Well, if we can play the letter game to the terrorists and their supporters, let me just say, F them!
Bob Lonsberg, weekends, 11 till 2, on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Presents Coast to Coast AM. To talk with George Norrie from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, call 1-800-618-8255. And the wildcard line is open at area code 541-665-0521. First-time callers may reach George at area code 541-665-0520. And now, filling in for Art Bell, here's George Norrie.
The music on Ghost to Ghost tonight is just as chilling as the stories. And more of your ghost stories in a moment on Coast to Coast. You know, it's always good to diversify your cash, isn't it? Put it somewhere and then spread it around, because you put all your eggs in one basket, you know what? You can end up getting all those eggs smashed, and you don't want that to happen. So how would you like to increase your investment returns? You know, there are world tensions. There are problems with rising oil prices. The stock market continues to be very uncertain. More and more people have decided now to turn to gold to protect and grow their savings and retirement accounts. Reports are everywhere. Forbes, CNBC, The Wall Street Journal, even Merrill Lynch, that big money is moving to gold, and that's why gold investments have outperformed all stock funds in 2001, and that's even why Mr. Art Bell, as Lear Financial, manages his own gold investments. As a satisfied client, he encourages you to call Lear Financial at 1-800-474-4259. Write this number down. Give them a call. You can call right now, as a matter of fact, to see how you can protect and grow your own savings and retirement account. If you call this number, 1-800-474-4259, right now, mention the Art Bell Show. You'll also get Lear's audio seminar titled, Why the Experts Picked Gold in 2002. That's a $29 value, $29, and the guide and the tape are free, but the offer is limited. So call 1-800-474-4259. That's 1-800-474-4259. There are real tragic events such as terrorism in the news these days, so what would you do in the event of a nuclear emergency? That's not so far-fetched now, is it? The government is stocking up on anti-radiation pills for government officials and the military. And what about you and your family? The greatest threat to your health is from the fallout of radioactive iodine, which can travel hundreds of miles, contaminating the air, food, and water, and young children are especially at risk. The good news is you can now get the same protection in a new anti-radiation pill called NORAD. NORAD contains pharmaceutical-grade potassium iodide that helps protect you from the damaging effects of radioactive iodine. NORAD is available now by calling 1-800-833-8737. That's 1-800-833-8737. Or order online at www.noradinfo.com. That's NORADINFO.com. NORAD is available at most health food stores. Stock up now while the supplies last.
Boy, ghost pictures are coming at me like crazy via email. If you'd like to email me, by the way, or Art or even Barbara, all you have to do is go to artbell.com, click on Interact Email Hosts, and send away. Let's continue now with Ghost to Ghost. Let's go to first-time caller. You are on the air with us. Proceed, my friend. How are you?
How are you, George? Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, real well. Where are you calling from?
I'm on the road down here around Durant, Texas, headed back up to my home state of Missouri.
All right, great.
And, I've kind of wanted to call in and talk to you guys for a while, but on this particular subject, I got something that it's really kind of scary even now that I think about it. I'm 38 years old, and it started happening really when I was about 12, and my parents divorced. And now we really didn't have much of this happen prior to that, but back then when they did divorce, my mom, there was me and my brother and sister, she started moving us around to quite a lot of different rent houses, and I swear, man, back then it seemed like something was following us around.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, it really could have been. For instance, at this one rent house, we used to have things get misplaced. My brother woke up one night also, woke up screaming. We slept in the upstairs room, and he woke up screaming about an old woman that he saw jump out the window. It was just mind-boggling. But what finally got us out of that house was my sister woke up on the staircase laying on her mattress still asleep.
The staircase?
The mattress, the twin bed mattress on the staircase going up to my brother's room.
How weird.
How weird. But anyway, the real dramatic one, like I said, this happened in probably 5 or 6 different houses over a period of 5 or 6 years, from about 76 until 79 when I finally moved out and tried to finish high school in my grandmother's house. But this one house that we lived in was in Norman, Oklahoma, on the corner of Frank and Finley Street. And it was a very old house when we moved in, and pretty dilapidated. And it's about, just an old rent house, what we could afford.
This always happens to the old houses, doesn't it?
I guess.
It's always the old ones.
It's like they're almost there for, they get more imprint on them or something, I don't know. But with this one, it was really kind of strange because there was more than just us living in the house that witnessed this one. And in that old house, like I said, we lived there for about a year and a half total. And we used to hear things while we laid in our bed. Me and my brother still share a room then. And my sister would hear these things from time to time. And this house had an upstairs area, too. And what we would hear would be like footsteps walking in the upstairs room. And every now and then you would hear things moving around up there. There was a bunch of old junk up there and stuff. The only entrance to get up there was in the center of the house. And it was a very, very narrow stairway. And we kept it. There was a makeshift door made out of plywood. And it was latched from our side of the door. So nobody could get up on the house and go in up there and really get down to the house or anything. But you could open that thing up and walk up this narrow stairway, and it was very, very old, like I said, and there was about an inch and a half of wallpaper from over the years that they had wallpapered on this thing. I mean, it was just old.
It's pretty thick.
It was like a circular room, and there were windows all the way around with the staircase coming up in the middle of the room.
Okay,
and that's
picture.
Where all the activity was really confined to. Now, we would lay in bed and hear this thing walking across there, and it would be like this dejected moaning sound, man, like it would, and would just curl our blood. And the strange thing about it was our mom never did hear it.
How do you know somebody really wasn't physically there and would sneak down at night or something like that?
Well, I'm going to get to that here in just a second.
Oh.
See, now that right there, that house was on the corner. And it happened to be a bus stop for a lot of the local neighborhood kids there. I mean, every morning during school, there would be between 8, 12, maybe 15 kids waiting on the bus. My mom worked, and what she would do to keep us from getting, into the house and eating everything up and just, turning our friends on to whatever we had, she would make us lock the door before she would go to work.
Sure.
And we would sit on the porch and wait on the bus. It was a covered porch, and there was a small door up above that porch. It was inaccessible from the ground. And now we were sitting out there one morning with a bunch of the kids waiting on the bus, and we heard this thing walking around up there. And this is daylight. This is the first time we've ever heard it during the daylight. And so me and my brother and this other kid named Jeff, we ran around to the back of the house where the bathroom is. Now, you could climb up, if you got a boost, you could climb up to that bathroom roof, and then you would have to jump up onto another roof part of the house and go in through one of the windows up there.
Right.
All right, and we went in there, and there was nobody in that thing. And all the kids sitting out there waiting on the bus heard those footsteps that day. And now, here's the thing. Like I said, we lived in that thing for a year and a half, and we didn't have a washer and dryer. We were pretty poor.
Yeah.
And wh- what my mother would do is she would take me and my brother down to a local laundromat, not very far from there, and drop us off at the laundry once a week, and me and my brother would do the laundry.
Okay.
And one day we were in there doing the laundry, and this pretty old man, that's a 30-year-old, but this guy was about 60, and he said that he got to talking to us and found out where we lived and stuff, and I guess he was fascinated that two young kids were in there folding clothes, but he got to talking to us, and he said he lived in that house when he was a young boy, and there were strange things going on with it then. And the story that he told us was that back in like the 20s or something, there was a party going on at that house, and a young man had gotten rather inebriated on alcohol there, and had gotten rejected by his girlfriend, and had gotten into his car, and drove off drunk, and ran the car off into a local lake and drowned.
Uh-oh.
And according to this old man, while the party was still going on, this guy went out and basically killed himself in a lake with a car. And according to the old man, while the party was still in process there, the people at the party saw the young man, and the party was being held, by the way, up in that room, saw the young man in the corner of one of those rooms, and he was sitting there and appeared to be wet and shivering and just kind of sitting in like a, on a position on the floor. Almost
some people probably figured he just came back from somewhere or something.
Yeah, that's according to the old man, they approached him, and he just, disappeared. That's about the most dramatic one I can really relate to, you because other people seen this thing, or other people heard it, rather. So it was, it wasn't just something going on in mine and my brother's head.
Jeez, what I find fascinating is how these entities, once they die, once the physical body dies, how they can meander their way back to wherever they were living or visiting in this particular case. Jeez. He came back to watch his girlfriend, maybe. That's exactly what he did, and he's probably still there. Let's go to our special line. You are on Ghost to Ghost. Hi there. I'm George Norrie.
Hi, George. Linda here in Maui, Hawaii.
Oh, hi, Linda. Boy, that's a long way away.
Yeah, I think we are. I have a quick story, actually. 1980s in Lake Tahoe with the family, staying at a motel. Everybody's in bed. I'm asleep. I feel somebody in the room, like how your hair stands up on end.
Uh-huh.
I sat starched up on my bed and I looked at a Franciscan, because he was a brown robe and a big hood over the face. He stared at me.
Could you see his face?
I could, but what I could see of the face was pure black. And that was the scary part.
Yes.
And he kept staring at me. He did not move his body one way or the other. And I could not move my body. I locked in until he was walking off, which he finally did. And I would say that was about a 2-minute stare down.
Did you see his arms at all, Linda?
His arms were, to me, his arms were normal with hands, And his brown robe was very clear, just like the Franciscans wear. And he was moving through my room at night. That's what he was doing. And so he knew that I saw him, right? And he did not want to move. And then about 2 minutes, I know that he moved off and phased into the wall where the window was.
What makes you think he was a Franciscan, just because he was in a brown robe?
Well, because of the brown robe with the brown hood. It was all what the Franciscans wear.
Never hurt you.
He did not want me to see his face, but you could see that it was all black. It was empty.
Do you think you might have recognized him if you had seen his face?
Well, I don't think there was a face there. That was the scary part.
No face.
No face. That was the really scary part.
You mean you could have stuck your hand in there probably and gone right through it?
It was just like a black shadow in there. So I've had several different sorts of instances where someone from the other side has been in my room or whatever, but this one, this particular instance, I caught him dead to rights, you know, as far as when he was moving through, and he chose not to move on until I subsided, you know, until I took their loss
right
off of him.
And once you did that, that was it for him. Jeez. Next up, East of the Rockies, your turn on Coast to Coast, on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Dayton, Ohio.
Dayton, Ohio.
Uh-huh.
The Wright-Patterson.
That's right. One of the most haunted places you can ever go to.
Probably, yeah.
But I've got a story here that's probably going to chill you because as we speak, it's happening now and it just now happened again.
Tell me, right now, tell me.
Me and my partner are on duty. And we work corporate security and asset protection for a major firm.
Okay.
And part of our doing our job duties is we monitor the entire facility we work in by camera.
Is it a big facility?
It's a very large facility.
All right.
With about 28 to 42 remote camera sites.
Oh, my.
Monitoring
they're all over the place, yeah.
And the inside. Needless to say, I've noticed this happening, especially even while you've been talking about your show, is every now and then a face will appear in the monitors. And it's not recording it on the camera because we've checked the video feedback.
What kind of a face?
Just a face, like someone looking lost. It's there for a quick instant.
I mean, like they're looking right up at the camera and just, boop, there it is?
Right. We'll be sitting in the office, me and my partner, and we were discussing this, and it was like, okay, do we write a report on this? What do we do? And it's like, well, we don't want to sound nuts or anything. But here in the last few nights, I mean, it's gotten continual to where as we're looking at the monitors, you look up and all of a sudden it'll pop up in one screen. And about 30 seconds later, it'll pop up in a different monitor on a different screen.
Same face?
Same face.
What does it look like?
To me, from what I can tell, it looks like a little girl.
Oh.
And what's interesting about the building is, see, this is a brand new building here in downtown Dayton.
What was there before?
When Dayton was originally founded, there was an old inn that was on the site, and then the inn was torn down to make way for a large shopping complex. And then here recently, they just did away with the shopping complex, and now they built our building over top of it.
Are you getting any alarms or anything dinging or anything like that?
No, nothing is going off. And that's what's interesting about this is because the video monitors and recording equipment that we use are called Calitel digital recorders. They're top of the line.
Yeah, they're very, very sensitive, aren't they?
They're very sensitive, and they record any type of a movement. Like, for instance, let's say you happen to walk in our underground parking garage. Well, instantly the camera will alert to your position and will record every movement you make until you leave the field of recording.
Yeah, it follows you.
Correct. And what's interesting about what's going on here is I've played the recorders back myself, looking, nothing.
Does this scare you?
No, it doesn't really frighten me. I mean, I've my grandmother, you know, as a little boy growing up, my grandmother lived in many, many houses, and she had many, many paranormal experiences. And some of hers were very frightening.
If you could click your fingers right now into the phone to give us an idea of how long that picture stays up on the video screen, that would help me.
Okay, hang on. Like that.
That fast?
That fast.
Just like a few frames.
Right. And what makes it interesting is we have total of six monitors. The top three monitors are called split screens, where we can see up to 16 camera shots at one time.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom three are fixed monitor positions where it brings up, if we see something on the top screen, we can punch it up and bring it up in larger than life on the bottom screen. Now, what's interesting is as this face is jumping around on the split screens, once you call it up to bring it up on the monitors below, it will continue to do that.
Can you tell what kind of clothes this little girl is wearing?
I don't know. I mean, it happens just enough to let you know it's there.
Is there any way somebody, before you two guys came on duty, might have been playing around with this and they put in a couple frames of a little picture just to play with you?
No. In order to do that, you would need the administrator password, and the only person that has the administrator password is our chief.
And they'd probably get fired if you ever found out who it was.
Yes. I mean, if somebody ever played with the system like that and intentionally put something into the system, they would be automatically terminated without question.
I wonder why you can't record the picture.
I don't know. I've thought about it. I'm running it through my mind now as to try and figure out a way to record it, because I would love to get a shot of this.
And you're saying as we are doing Coast to Coast right now.
Matter of fact, it just did it.
She just popped up again?
Yes. In our, there's a hallway.
Does it look like, you know, if someone was looking at this video, you could tell, hey, I can see this person. The person's, you know, physically there because of movement or something. Does it look like that, or does it look like a picture that might have been ripped out of a magazine?
It looks like, as you're looking at a still video, you're looking at just a still shot. Suddenly, the screen will click over to a solid gray, and then it's like the face is looking from the camera to you. That's what's really odd about it.
That is weird.
And as you're looking at it, you know, and unfortunately this is the scientific, you know, I'm looking at it from the scientific aspect, you know, we've sent each other all over the building to the different camera locations.
How long are you on duty now? How many hours left for you?
Right now in my time it's 0230, and I get off at 0700, so I got about 4.5 hours.
If before we get off the air in several hours, you see a change where you can identify the kind of clothes style that she might be wearing, or even the kind of hairdo she has, like does she have like a little Shirley Temple haircut or something
like
that?
Yeah, it's kind of like a little Shirley Temple style. It's kind of, I want to say contemporary. It's nothing that you'd see.
Would you see it in the 30s and 40s?
That's about the time period I'd put it at, the hairstyle.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's what's interesting about it is I don't feel threatened in any way. And me and my partner sit here and, you know, we were discussing this and we were looking forward to tonight's show. And I said, you know, I'm going to call Mr. Nori up tonight because I'm going to let him know that while he's broadcasting, this is happening. And this is just really interesting.
That is just a remarkable story. If you can get through and this keeps up, I'd like to hear about it, okay?
Definitely.
Jeez. There's Danny, security guard down there in Dayton, Ohio, with another guard, looking at a number of video cameras. And these are very sensitive cameras, by the way. And a picture of a little girl keeps popping up. Little girl with that little Shirley Temple curly hair. Just kind of peering up at the camera. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
Checking WHAM's radar weather for the remainder of the overnight. We're going to find some wet snow off and on. A little bit of lake effect snow developing through Genesee and Wyoming County. That's where most of the accumulation is going to be. Maybe an inch or two by morning. Temperature dropping into the lower 30s. Friday, blustery, turning colder, occasional snow showers. Again, a small accumulation. Most of the day is going to be spent in the 30s. Friday night, we may find some heavier lake effect snow coming in off of Lake Ontario for Wayne County. Several inches possible. Temperature is going to be dropping through the 20s. This is WHAM News Source 13 meteorologist Glenn Johnson.
Election 2002.
This is a year when a number of statewide and congressional races are up for grabs, including who will be New York's governor. The award-winning Wham! News team will be on top of the action with continuous coverage beginning Tuesday night at 9. We'll have analysis with Wham!'s Bob Lonsberry and political expert Jim Bowers. Listen for results and interviews with the winners and the losers on election night. Stay with the winner. News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Hello, my name is Dwight. I'm your server. May I take your order?
I'm real hungry. Anything good you might recommend?
Oh, yes. My favorite, the mustard glazed brie with alfalfa sprouts.
You know, I was thinking of something pretty hearty. What kind of meat you got?
Meat? Not here, but we have a wonderful escarole salad.
Just like you, your SUV, pickup, or van has a strong appetite for eating up the road. That's why any old tire someone else wants to serve you off their menu just won't do. Toyo's open country all-terrain tires are just right for where you take your vehicle, and they're warranted for 50,000 miles. Toyo smooths out rough roads and can tackle any season's weather that Rochester serves up. Great value and a top-of-the-line tire. Toyo's open country AT tires in 32 sizes. Tires that fit you.
Get your Toyo tires at Tire World on Empire Boulevard in Webster and Murphy's Tire, Niagara Street in Canandaigua.
And for dessert, we have delicious juicy melon balls drizzled with a light macadamia sauce.
An important fiscal message from County Executive Jack Doyle.
When I was first elected, I promised the community that I would never balance the burden of county government on the backs of taxpayers. We all know the economy took a downturn, causing stress on family and government budgets. But during these difficult times, I commit to you that I will follow through on my pledge to hold down your taxes. That's why I've introduced a tax stability plan that makes some tough choices, but it balances our county budget without raising taxes. A property tax increase would destroy the dreams of young families trying to buy a first home, parents saving for their children's education, and seniors who want to pass on what they worked so hard to earn. We must reform county government to do more with less, protecting taxpayers while maintaining vital services, like public safety. We can get through this short-term crisis. We will share the pain of government reductions together, but we will survive without raising your taxes.
Paid for by the Monroe County Republican Committee.
Coast to Coast AM, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
Bob Brenna, Jr. from the law firm of Brenna & Brenna. The one thing that separates us from living in a society controlled by brute force is our democracy. And the only thing that keeps ordinary people like us in control of the government is a free election process that we all sometimes take for granted. The law and our legal system is ultimately under your control. Don't be overwhelmed by the numbers. Your vote really does make a difference. Vote. Keep our control over this process. Don't let it erode away, and please take advantage of this opportunity. Take the time to think about your vote. Many have paid dearly to protect this country, and the 5 or 10 minutes it will require for you to preserve this control over your destiny is a small price to pay for freedom. This election day, use the power that you've been given wisely. It will affect your life immensely and the lives of future generations. Vote. The future really is in your hands.
From the law firm of Brenna & Brenna, Suite 2000, Liberty Plaza, 31 East Main Street, Rochester.
Like him or hate him, he's Rochester's own Bob Lonsberry. Weekdays, 11 till 2, on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Yeah.
with George Norrie. From east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, call 1-800-618-8255. And the wildcard line is open at area code 541-665-0521. First-time callers may reach George at area code 541-665-0520. International callers may access Coast to Coast AM at 1-800-893-0903. That's 1-800-893-0903. And now, filling in for Art Bell, here's George Norrie.
Boy, am I getting some startling email stories about ghosts. Oh, geez, some of them I'm too scared to read. I'll go through half of them and they start to scare me. Pretty chilling. More of your stories, because the ghosts could not stop. Ghost to Ghost tonight on Coast to Coast. Don't go away. In the mood to feel 10 years younger? How about 10 years younger in 10 weeks? Well, now there's proof that the effects of aging can be slowed down and even reversed with HGH human growth hormone. And for some time now, you've heard us talk about the incredible age-reversing benefits of HGH. And according to thousands of articles, higher HGH levels can help you look and feel younger. And that's why people take Ultimate HGH. It's a natural formula to help boost your body's own production of HGH. And if your goal is to help improve energy and stamina, how about lose unwanted fat, diminish wrinkles, enhance memory, immune function, and vision? Then Ultimate HGH is definitely for you. And when you order two bottles of Ultimate HGH, you'll get the third absolutely free. That's about a $33 a month savings just with that combination. A tremendous savings, by the way, off the typical $100 a month for comparable products. So there's a deal there for you. Plus, with your order, you'll receive a free book on HGH. That's a $20 value, absolutely free. So call now at 1-800-557-4627. That's 1-800-557-4627.
TV Land presents Jerry Seinfeld on Research.
Viewers felt that Jerry needed a better backup ensemble. Can you imagine a better backup ensemble in the world than those three people?
From the archives of 60 Minutes, TV Land brings you TV Land Legends, the 60 Minutes interviews, featuring Jerry Seinfeld, Johnny Carson, Jackie Gleason, and Carol Burnett. This Sunday, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern and Pacific, only on TV Land.
At First Horizon Home Loans, we know buying a home can be stressful. But there's at least one thing that isn't: getting your loan from us. We draw on the strength of a nationwide network of loan officers who will guide you every step of the way so you can move on to the things you'd rather be doing, like enjoying your new home. Call 800-600-4400 today. That's 800-600-4400. First Horizon Home Loans. Get home with less stress.
And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Here's just one of those emails I got, by the way, this Ghost to Ghost night. 20 years ago, I had seen something that has stayed with me, George, till this day. I was upstairs in my apartment on a sunny afternoon reading a TV guide. While the television was on, I was sitting in a rocking chair. Behind me was a narrow hallway, and across was the brightly colored kitchen. Yellow checkerboard wallpaper with a window. Something made me turn around. Not a noise, but a feeling. I saw a figure with dark hair, bangs, a dark sweatshirt, and there was nothing below the waist. I gasped, and the figure looked towards me, then back again, going in the direction of the door to go downstairs. It was as if I scared him or it or her by taking that gasp of air. It then disappeared. I started to cry, not so much because I was scared, but because I witnessed something incredible. I feel privileged to have experienced it and now know that there are things we need to learn more about the spirit world. And that's from Michelle. Well, it's a neat little email, Michelle. Let's go to the phones now. Let's go west of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast. You are on the air. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yes. Where are you calling from?
I'm Walter. I'm calling from Eatonville, Washington.
Ah, go ahead, Walter.
Yeah, I was calling, this is my, it's not only my best ghost story, it's my best UFO story that's personal for me.
Tied together, we get two bangs for the dollar on this one.
Yeah, So anyway, this was about 20 years ago, and I was up here, a little higher up than I am right now, but I was on a farm, and I was staying in this little cabin, and I'm listening to my tape player, and all of a sudden, it's dark outside, and all of a sudden, my tape starts running really funny, and I'm hearing, like, this old lady's real high, eerie voice. And
On the tape?
Yeah, like kind of like those ones that that Art does with the guys who do it in the graveyard on the
tape. Yes.
And it was just like it was talking to me, and I thought, oh no, this is happening. So anyway, so I kind of freaked, and I went outside because I had to go to the relieve myself.
Uh-huh.
And I'm standing there, and it's pitch black out, and I look up in the sky, and about 100 yards away from me and about 100 yards up in the air, a yellow light. This is the only way I can describe this. It's like if the moon zipped up in front of you and just stood there. I couldn't tell if it was a hologram, it didn't look like a vehicle. It didn't look to be, it could have been solid, but it just zipped up in front right there, hovered for a second, and I'm standing there relieving myself, looking at this thing. And I thought I'd be scared to death. It was my first encounter, you know, and my knees weren't shaking, and I felt like, wow, why doesn't this thing land? And then it sat there for a second, and then it just zipped off. And like I said, it was like a yellow light, just like if the moon pulled up in front of you and then took off. So
this might have been a first for them too, huh? Looking you relieving yourself from above.
But anyway, so the next morning I run down to the guy who owns the property. He's just 300 yards down the trail there, and I'm run down there, and I tell him what happened, and he comes running out of his house, chasing me out of the house with a gun. He says, don't ever say you saw anything like that, never, ever, and he told me to get off his property and never come back.
And so, he was really upset.
He was really upset. He thought I'd have the FBI, or people would think you and I were both nuts. So,
yeah.
So anyway, I was getting ready to hitchhike to New York anyway. I was a musician, and I had written some songs. So I started hitchhiking to New York that next night, and next morning I get picked up by a trucker, and he starts taking me to New York. Actually, we were headed to Gary, Indiana, and Guyana started, and we're listening to the radio, and it's 100 dead, and we go another few miles, 200 dead.
Right, right.
And so anyway, I couldn't tell what kind of a solid form this was, if it was solid or just a light, and I've always called it a ghost ship, and I don't know if it was the ghost of the people of Guyana or what, but I did make it to New York. But anyway, I also I have a tape of Fatima of the Hollywood production way back, and it tells certain things that the Virgin Mary supposedly said
mm-hmm,
on there.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, at night, one night, the earth will see a strange light in the sky, and the earth is about to be punished. But anyway, it might all be non-relative or whatever, but...
But you had a lot of things going on.
Oh, a bunch of things.
My God.
But anyway, George, I was going to ask you. Mm-hmm. I do have this tape, and I wanted to send it to you. Do you have an address I can send it to?
Can you email it first? I mean, can you email it to us? If you can't, we'll put you on hold, and we'll get the address from you, and we'll give it to you.
I can email a tape?
You can MP3 it, I guess, if there's a way to do it into your computer.
Video cassette, huh?
Oh, it's a video.
Yeah, it's a video of. It's even got some of the real footage. It's a Hollywood production about nothing.
Okay, I'll tell you what to do. Let's put you on hold, and our producers will give you the address, and you can send it. And as soon as we get it, we'll get it up to Keith and have him put it on Art Bell's website, and we can all take a look at it. Okay, let's go to our special line that we've got for entity attacks and other chilling ghost stories. Hi there, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from somewhere in Georgia.
Somewhere.
Yeah, I'm traveling, so.
Okay.
But I'm from Tuscaloosa. But basically my story begins in around 1988. I had just graduated high school, and I was DJing in a small radio station.
Cool.
And a fellow DJ there by the name of Todd Prater, he'd mess around the Ouija board from time to time. And I'd always been interested in the supernatural, never the occult, but, you know, black candles and all that, but just how intriguing it all is.
Oh, sure. Like I did when I was in that age period, too.
Yeah, I figured you could understand.
Yep.
So Todd and I got to messing with it, and I just happened to meet this kind of groupie friend that he had, a girl named Candy, but I never got to know her, really. Well, she called me at the radio station a couple of weeks later. I was working the midnight shift. As a matter of fact, TalkNet was the big thing back then. I'm sure you remember that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so she called me, and she said that she needed to meet me the next day, which was strange because I really didn't know the girl. So we met at the mall the next day, and she starts telling me how she and a friend of hers were messing around on a Ouija board before school, and they just made this a routine. They did it every day. And they had actually managed to contact the spirit. They called themselves Zorro. And so, you know, they just kind of played with it and had fun, you know, asking silly questions. And there came a day that Zorro just kind of disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly there was something else there, you know, much more forceful, you know, moving the ship board around faster and things like this.
Something a little more evil?
Yeah. And, you know, throwing out all kinds of curse words and this and that. Yeah, it scared the crap out of both of them. So they went to do it the next day, and Zorro was there, and this thing came on again, and over, you know, a week or so, Zorro wouldn't even show up. It was just this thing. I'll tell you what this entity called itself once, but afterwards I just refer to it as them, and you'll understand.
Okay.
But it calls itself Medra.
Medra.
M-E-D-R-A.
Okay.
So Candy told me about this, and she said they asked it, what do you want? Why do you keep bothering us? And it said, Kevin. And they didn't know who the hell I was talking about. It was like, Kevin who? You know, Kevin. And it just went, Kevin.
This thing's bringing your name into it, huh?
Yeah. And, I mean, these girls hardly knew me. So this was why Candy got in touch with me. And so we met at the mall. She told me about it. So we went out to her car, and she had the Ouija board out there. And we get on it, and immediately it's there. And
you're witnessing this, right? You're watching this happen. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I, you know, made sure her fingers were barely on it. You know, just, you know how you, when you curve your fingers and you just have the tips, it's really difficult to move the planchette. You really have to put downward force on it.
Right.
So I was making sure she wasn't cheating and I wasn't cheating. So I got to talking to the thing, and I had enough experience with it not to get in a line of talk with it, to keep bouncing around and stay in control of the conversation. But I asked it, you know, what do you want with me? And it spelled out Satan Aid, you know, A-Y-D-E, and misspelled it. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So what do you really want? It kept saying, well, you're a joke. You're full of this and that and the other thing. And I said, goodbye. And so, you know, I just kind of wrote it off. And I got to Germany in the army shortly thereafter, and I got to talking with a kind of friend of mine, a guy named Sam, who was an MP, and somehow the subject of this came up, and he said, man, I have a friend, he's, you know, he claims to be a medium and this and that, and the other thing, you ought to tell him about this. So we went back to the barracks, and I tell this guy, and I spoke its name, what it referred to itself as. This guy just went completely white.
Oh, really?
Don't you ever say that name again. Jeez, man, he's half my size and he's threatening me.
Yeah.
So,
whoa, what was that?
That was a truck's jake brake.
All right.
I pulled off on the off-ramp here.
Okay.
But basically, there were other things that happened, a bit more frightening, but... You know,
who is Medra?
According to him, it's a rather high-level entity. I don't know how much stock to put in that because they don't give their names. You know, because that way you can have power over them.
Well, but how did he know who that name was? I mean, did he read about it in some kind of scary book or anything like that?
I guess. you know, this guy apparently knew his stuff. You know, I ran into Sam maybe a week later, and matter of fact, it was the last time I saw Sam again. I never saw his friend again, but Sam said, you know, my friend was in bad shape. You know, he had to battle that thing after you left.
It came after him?
Well, you know, that's what Sam says, but, you know, this guy, as a matter of fact, this guy was asking me for some background. I'd start telling him about this and then the other thing, and he'd say, stop, and he would finish my story for me. You know, different strange things that had happened to me, and he would stop me and finish the story.
Did you ever get attacked by this thing?
Well, the closest I ever got was I was working at the Waffle House, the Awful Waffle, and my grandmother slipped and broke her hip on Millport, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was 40 miles away. So I go out there in the middle of the night, and then I had to leave to get back for the morning shift. While I'm driving back, it's pitch dark out there. And I come around this corner, and the best way I can describe it is kind of like a pop-up target, that something is just suddenly there. You don't see it come in from either side.
Exactly.
But just right in front of me, just this figure of an old man, just no expression, except maybe the eyes. You know, they weren't glowing or anything. But
it's always the eyes, you know what?
Yeah.
It's always the eyes.
You just automatically lock in. But I don't know, they were just kind of calm something. And I went straight through. I'm driving my dad's Tercel. And I just went straight through this thing. And I'm screaming. I'm slamming on the brake.
You thought you hit a little old man, didn't you?
Yeah. And, I mean, instant sweat. So I throw on the brake, take a deep breath, jump out, and I run back there. You know, there's no way I could have missed this guy, but I never felt anything.
And poof, you probably went right through him, and he was gone. Unbelievable. Let's go to first-time caller as we go with Ghost to Ghost on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, where are you calling from?
Lubbock, Texas.
Love it. Okay, big UFO flap many years ago there.
I guess that was before my time.
Yeah. What do you got?
Well, it's not as good as some of these that have been on the air, but I was 15 or 16 years old, and I was house-sitting for my grandparents. This house was, when they got it, it had already been lived in. They moved it out in the country. When they were putting the walls in, they found a penny that had been nailed into the wall, 1902, 1903 penny.
Sure.
So I knew it was old. My grandparents went out of town. I was downstairs watching TV. I was getting tired, so I decided to go to bed. Before I went to bed, went in the kitchen, got me a glass of water, set the glass in the middle of the counter, went upstairs, crawled in the bed. Well, I heard creaking sounds like somebody's walking on wood floor. And this is old wood pier beam floor like they built in Texas. And I didn't think anything of it. It's settling, no big deal. Try to go to sleep. Well, I hear the commode flush downstairs. Well, I was thinking, I'm hearing stuff.
Yeah, or maybe somebody's there.
Right. And I knew they lived out in the country, you know, 20, 25 miles from anybody. So I blew it off. Then I heard it again. So I went downstairs, and I was making my way downstairs. I heard glass break. Now, that kind of got me freaked out.
Yeah, that's enough. Hearing something flush, you can live with that.
Right. But when you hear something break, you're thinking, well, if somebody's breaking in, they really went out of their way to get to this place.
Exactly.
So I grabbed a baseball bat, thinking, you know, I'm a 16-year-old kid. I'm 6 foot tall, 230, 235 pounds, baseball player. I'm going to knock somebody's head off.
You're a pretty big kid.
Yeah, exactly. So as I'm walking down the stairs, the bathroom light flips on and off. The glass breaks. As I walk into the living room to face the kitchen, the glass is scattering all over the floor. Like somebody's taking a broom and just sweeping it back and forth.
Right, it's just like just moving all the time?
Exactly. So I didn't say anything. I just kind of froze up. And I guess I dropped the baseball bat in the process, and it stopped. The ceiling fan in the kitchen started started to spin, like somebody was taking their hand and spinning. It'd slow down, and then speed up. And then my grandmother's antique cuckoo clock, which had never worked as long as I remember, it started going off.
It's always the cuckoo clocks at the right time. You know that?
Exactly. So I grab my baseball bat, and I go back upstairs. I'm like, if they're going to get me, they're going to have to come up the stairs first. So as I'm walking back up the stairs, I hear water running. I'm like, okay, this is ridiculous. So I start going through the house and turn on all the lights, making sure nobody was in the house.
Are you in control? Are you in control of yourself by this time, or have you lost it?
I've just lost it. I'm just freaking out. Adrenaline's going through me. My nerves are shot. I'm just going through it, just making sure nobody's in the house.
Yeah.
So as I'm making my way back through the house, the kitchen light's on. And as I walk into the kitchen, the glass is sitting back up on the counter, fully assembled.
Oh, my. Oh.
That was the time that I knew I'm going to put my stuff in my car, and I'm gone.
I'm out of there. Exactly. I'm out of there.
Well, I told my grandparents about it when they got back. And they told me, well, we'd heard, you know, creaking floorboards and toilet flush, but nothing like that. Three weeks later, my grandmother had a run-in with a grayish figure of an elderly lady.
In that house?
In that house.
In that house. Jeez. Spirits are everywhere. And your ghost stories. Unbelievable. How many people in this country, around this world, are experiencing ghost stories, some entity attacks. Keep chilling us. I'm George Norrie. This is Ghost to Ghost tonight on Coast to Coast. In for Art Bell. We'll be back in moments.
George, how you doing? You had LASIK surgery? Where? Oh, through the Rochester Eye Center, Dr. Kenneth Lindahl. Say, don't they have an office right off the inner loop? Yeah, that's right, 30 North Union Street. Wait a minute, I thought you said you couldn't afford laser vision correction. They have interest-free financing for up to 1 year? And your payments could be as low as $30 a month? Who do I call? Kathy at 585-232-2560. Got it. Great. I'm calling the Rochester Eye Center today. Thanks.
Now you can afford laser vision correction. Call 585-232-2560 to set up your free LASIK screening today. The Rochester Eye Center. Their goal is perfect vision. Check us out at rcityweb.com, the official Rochester area yellow pages on the internet. If your car is a turkey, Thanksgiving just may be the time to stuff it for good. Save sentiment for your family dinner and donate your used car to the National Kidney Foundation's Kidney Cars program. All you have to do is call 1-800-488-CARS and the National Kidney Foundation will take care of the rest. They offer free towing and you may even be eligible for a tax deduction. And all of the proceeds stay right here in upstate New York to help prevent and treat kidney disease. But even if you don't have a car to donate, you can still help in the fight against kidney disease. Did you know that high blood pressure causes kidney failure? If your blood pressure is over 140 over 90, see your doctor regularly. You may need medication to keep your blood pressure under control. Call the National Kidney Foundation today for a free brochure about high blood pressure and kidney disease.
Make your car a kidney car. Cars that save lives.
Leave your leftovers to us. Your leftover car, that is. We'll give thanks if you make your car a kidney car. Call 1-800-488-CARS.
Rochester's award-winning news team, recognized year after year. News Radio 1180 WHAM Rochester.
A Clear Channel radio station.
CBS News. I'm Jim Shenaby. Police departments across the country opening case files, checking ballistics in recent shootings against evidence in the Washington area sniper attacks. This after Louisiana became the latest state to file murder charges against suspects John Muhammad and Lee Malvo, linking the two to a September murder of a beauty salon worker in Baton Rouge. Police Chief Pat Englade.
Miss Ballinger was shot to death at approximately 6:40 p.m. on September the 23rd.
in the parking lot of her place of employment. Beauty Depot.
Correspondent Bob McNamara.
A timeline is now emerging. The killer's first striking in Alabama on September 21st, then backtracking to Louisiana, killing a second victim 2 days later, before heading east to Washington, where their spree nearly paralyzed the nation's capital.
23 deaths now reported from Thursday's earthquake that hit south-central Italy. 21 of those victims, children, attending a Halloween party at a nursery school when the roof collapsed. It was a 5.4 magnitude trembler. Sky News reporter Colin Brazier.
In time, engineers will want to know why this school's roof catastrophically failed. Seismologists already know the initial quake was detected as far away as the cities of Rome and Naples. But in this small town, there's only one question. How much of Santa Giuliana de Puglia's next generation remains?
Today is the day Microsoft should find out if a federal judge will approve its proposed settlement of antitrust charges with the Justice Department. A judge expected to issue rulings in the case, CBS News technology expert Larry Maggott.
One of the big issues is whether Microsoft should be prevented from bundling free software with its operating systems, software that unfairly competes with other companies. Microsoft included Internet Explorer with Windows, which essentially put Netscape out of business. It also includes a media player and other software, which competes with programs that other companies were trying to sell. By giving away competing programs for free, Microsoft makes it extremely difficult for other companies to make money selling software.
The judge's rulings are expected this afternoon after the market close. Former Enron CFO Andrew Fastow has been indicted on 78 federal counts, including fraud and money laundering. CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
Clearly, the feds believe that Fastow committed dozens and dozens of federal crimes, and not just what many people would consider to be white-collar crimes. The indictment is detailed, it's very complex, and it suggests that Fastow really was a financial mastermind who thought he could get away with it all.
A Russian Soyuz capsule has docked with the International Space Station. Correspondent Peter King.
Two Russians and a Belgian will spend about 8 days aboard the International Space Station. This trip is a taxi flight. Bring up a new Soyuz escape ship and return the old one to Earth. The Soyuz has a shelf life of about 6 months. It's the only way for a space station crew to get home in an emergency when there's no space shuttle there.
This is CBS News. Hello.
This is Sam and Legal. Let's hear your ad copy for the Sears Super Saturday sale.
This Saturday, save 50% off items throughout the store, plus all TVs, camcorders, and DVD players are on sale.
Change it to save 50% off items throughout the store, plus all TVs, camcorders, and DVD players are on sale.
That's what I said.
Wasn't that easy?
This Saturday, save 50% off items throughout the store, plus all TVs, camcorders, and DVD players are on sale. Sears, where else?
Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends November 2nd, 2002. Find us online at Sears.com or America Online, keyword Sears.
Louisa May Alcott's Little Women, brought to you by Geico Auto Insurance.
Look how small Joe is. Isn't she petite?
Well, Beth is even littler than us.
Look how little Meg is. You can almost say she's tiny.
How is Geico able to offer 24-hour service and still save us money?
Perhaps it's because we are all so small.
We are small, aren't we?
Round-the-clock service 7 days a week, and you could save 15% on car insurance. Call Geico at 1-800-947-AUTO. That's 1-800-947-AUTO.
Massachusetts high school baseball players will be getting some new equipment amid concerns that aluminum bats can be dangerous. Mark Caddick of CBS radio station WBZ reports.
Bay State ball players won't hear the familiar ping of their bats come playoff time. The Massachusetts Interscholastic Athletic Association is the first in the U.S. to require wood bats for the postseason, citing safety concerns. MIA spokesman Paul Wetzel says no one should be surprised by today's vote.
School athletic directors have been advised for probably more than a year that the potential to move to wooden bats existed and that they should prepare their budgets accordingly.
The MIAA could vote to permanently ban aluminum bats from all competition next month. Mark Caddick, CBS News, Boston.
New Jersey lawmakers considering a bill that would make the Garden State the second in the nation to outlaw the use of handheld cellular phones by drivers. New York already has such a ban. Backers say drivers yakking on phones are more likely to cause accidents. Jim Shenaby, CBS News.
If it's about sports, he knows about it.
I know I got some ideas that many of you don't agree with, and that's what's fun about the show.
Bob Matthews, weeknights at 6, News Radio 1180, WHAM.
Checking WHAM's radar weather for the remainder of the overnight, we're going to find some wet snow off and on. A little bit of lake effect snow developing through Genesee and Wyoming County. That's where most of the accumulation is going to be. Maybe an inch or two by morning. Temperature dropping into the lower 30s. Friday, blustery, turning colder, occasional snow showers. Again, a small accumulation. Most of the day is going to be spent in the 30s. Friday night, we may find some heavier lake effect snow coming in off of Lake Ontario for Wayne County. Several inches possible. Temperature is going to be dropping through the 20s. This is WHAM NASOS 13 meteorologist Glenn Johnson.
You have a guy who was screwing around outside of marriage and walked away from his kid.
Oh, you know.
I wouldn't dream of marrying a guy who walked away from his newborn.
It's Dr. Laura.
She's a PhD woman that, you know, has no money, and she's taking advantage of him completely.
Do you hear yourself?
Uh-huh.
Oh. Kim, I don't know what more I can say except you and he are a match, and I don't mean that as a compliment.
Advice for life and a lot of tough love. Dr. Laura. Weekdays, 9 to 11 on WHAM.
I would be a liar if I was to say it to you. Girl, we couldn't get much higher. Come over the night by the fire. Come over the night by the fire. Try to spend the night on my own. The time you hesitate is good. The time you wallow in the mire. Become a funeral pyre. Come over the light of my fire. Come over the light of my fire. Try to set the night on.
Radio Networks presents Coast to Coast AM. To talk with George Norrie, from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, call 1-800-618-8255. And the wildcard line is open at area code 541-665-0521. First-time callers may reach George at area code 541-665-0520. International callers may access Coast to Coast AM at 1-800-893-0903. That's 1-800-893-0903. And now, filling in for Art Bell, here's George Norrie.
I'm looking at a picture that someone just emailed me, and it says, George, my friend's brother had died around the moment of this photograph of a picture that we took. And in the background, you can see the image of what probably is the dead brother. Now that's spooky stuff. Ghost to Ghost continues in a moment on Coast to Coast. Hey, are you or a loved one making way too many trips to the bathroom? Well, listen closely, because you're not alone. There's a reason. More than 30 million men suffer from an enlarged prostate. And that's why if you make frequent trips to the bathroom, have urgency, hesitancy, or even a diminished sex drive, well, guess what? Super Prostate Formula is for you. It'll help. It was designed by nationally recognized physician Dr. Michael Teplisky. And the results for this patient have been amazing. Take it from me, reclaim control now, and join the legion of listeners who've had absolutely incredible results because it really works. And when you order two bottles of Dr. Teplisky's Super Prostate Formula, you'll also get two bottles of his Super Antioxidant Formula to reduce inflammation and further support the health of your prostate, plus his groundbreaking book, The Complete Guide to Prostate Health. And his newsletter, a total $100 value, free as your gift, guaranteed to work or your money back. If you're not completely satisfied, return it for a full refund. Keep the book and newsletter free as your gift. This is not available in stores, so call now at 1-800-603-7277. 1-800-603-7277. One more time for you. 1-800-603-7277. There are real tragic events such as terrorism in the news these days, so what would you do in the event of a nuclear emergency? That's not so far-fetched now, is it? The government is stocking up on anti-radiation pills for government officials and the military. And what about you and your family? The greatest threat to your health is from the fallout of radioactive iodine, which can travel hundreds of miles, contaminating the air, food, and water, and young children are especially at risk. The good news is you can now get the same protection in a new anti-radiation pill called NORAD. NORAD contains pharmaceutical-grade potassium iodide that helps protect you from the damaging effects of radioactive iodine. NORAD is available now by calling 1-800-833-8737. That's 1-800-833-8737. Or order online at www.noradinfo.com. That's NORADINFO.com. NORAD is available at most health food stores. Stock up now while the supplies last. You know what I find astonishing, though, is how many, so many people are having ghost and entity stories, some of them peaceful, but a lot of them wicked, evil entities that try to hurt and attack, and that I find to be just astonishing. Let's go east of the Rockies. Your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Ed from New York.
Hello, Ed.
This happened about 50 years ago when I lived in Philadelphia.
50, okay.
Yeah, I'm about 60 years old, and this still scares me sometimes. When I was about 10 years old, a group of about three of my friends and I decided that we were going to check out a supposedly haunted house in the neighborhood.
You were going to be gutsy on that one,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, real gutsy. It was like either the day before Halloween or the day after, something like that. I can't remember. It was around this time. And this was an old house, old brick house. And we decided that we were going to go in. And to do it right, we all decided we had to go in about midnight. So we got together, and we entered this house. And it was real dark. We're looking around. Well, there was like a street light outside, and some of the light filtered in so we could see a little bit, but not much.
And how'd you sneak out of the house and parents didn't know about it? I mean, you're all 10 years old.
We gave the story that we were going to stay at one of the guy's house over there.
Ah, okay.
And we're looking around, and everything seemed okay, and we decided to go upstairs. We went upstairs, and we were investigating upstairs, and the front room of the house was sort of like a sitting room, and there was a an organ in there. And we're looking around, and you know, nothing too spectacular. And we're all thinking, oh, this is a dumb thing to do. There's nothing about it. And as we turned around and we're leaving the room, the organ played a note. Very low, soulful, long note.
Yeah.
And you can imagine.
Oh, my.
There's four of us, my three buddies and me. We decided that we didn't belong to be in the house anymore.
Could you see the key on the organ pressed down?
We couldn't hardly see anything. We thought we saw the key go down, but we couldn't. Later, when we were talking about it, we couldn't testify that we actually did see a key being pressed down. Well, on the way out, we had this habit of when we were going in single file to put our hands on top of the shoulder of the guy in front of us, make sure that we were all together.
It was that dark.
Yeah, back by the where the stairwell to go downstairs.
Okay.
And I was the last guy. And I could just about barely make out the three guys ahead of me. And all of a sudden, there was a hand on my shoulder.
Oh.
Now, you can imagine, I said, okay, guys, who's behind me? And
You're assuming maybe one of the friends. Maybe there was only one person in front of you, right?
Right. And I says, okay, I want to hear names right now. So I heard George in front of me, and I heard Henry in front of me, and I heard Frank in front of me. And I'm thinking, okay, George, Henry, Frank, me. who's behind me? And when I said, who's behind me, the three guys in front of me yelled, oh,
yeah,
we're getting out of here, and we started to run. And we ran down the stairs, and the bottom of the stairs was like, there was like a little entryway in the front door, and we just went right through the front door out to the sidewalk in front of the house. There was like a little yard in front of the house, like maybe about 6 or 8 feet. And we collected ourselves right there, and we looked around, and with the street light, we could see that it was just the four of us. And we turned around and looked at the house, and we could feel the eyes of something in someone or something in the house on us. Well, that freaked us out, and we split. We all went to this one guy's house, and we were sitting in the on his front porch, and we're saying, okay, let's go through this again.
Sure.
And we went through everything that happened. And one of the guys says, well, that's impossible, Ed. Nobody was behind you. And I said, well, if nobody was behind me, then who put his hand on my shoulder?
That's right.
And we decided a couple of days later that we were going to go back in daytime and check it out.
Tough guys. You're going back during the daytime now, right?
Yeah. When we got there, the fire department was there, and the house was burning.
Oh.
The fire was so hot that these clay bricks that it was made of melted.
That is hot.
That was hot. And I was thinking about it when I was waiting to come on to talk to you about it, and it still scares me.
Well, now I want you to close your eyes for one moment, Ed, because I'm going to do something here, and then I want you to tell me with your eyes closed what you think. You ready? Your eyes closed?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Okay. Does it bring back a chill?
Yeah.
Yep.
No.
It's a little like that.
Exactly.
Yep. I knew that would do it to you. That is a chilling sound.
Yeah, we all decided that we weren't going to say anything about it.
You may not sleep tonight, you know that. Thanks for the story.
Have you got time for another one?
I've got so many calls, I got to move on.
Okay.
Okay, but thank you. That was a great story. Next up, let's go wild card caller. You're on Ghost to Ghost on Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Go ahead.
Good morning, George. It's so good to hear your voice on a cold morning like this.
It is cold. It's cold all around the country.
Yeah, I'm at WRAK, Central PA.
Okay,
and it's
sure.
Cold.
I tell you, a meteorologist just emailed me, and he said, George, it's just a remarkable cold front that is sweeping the country right now. And I'm saying to myself, why, when we're talking ghost stories, does it happen now? That's weird.
You've got the magic touch.
I don't know. We may have it. We're doing it together, aren't we?
Well, listen, I'll be quick. But I'm fearless almost. And this particular incident that happened right around the same time that Mount St. Helens blew, I was living in Seattle. And I don't know if I had a haunted house or a haunted boyfriend. You can make up your mind on that.
Or both, huh?
Oh, this everything happened. It was like adversity was everywhere I turned. What happened was I had lived there about a year, and the owners had a relative moving back to the Seattle area, so I had 30 days to move. And I had everything out of the house except for the bedroom and a few odds and ends in the yard, that kind of thing. So we had one truckload, and this boyfriend was morally bankrupt. So I had decided that we would just be friends.
Yeah.
He owed me money, and he said, well, I'll come over, make sure your truck is all gassed up, and we'll get everything moved. We had more than we thought. So we left the bed and just a few articles in the bedroom, the main bedroom, and I had a very well-trained black Doberman. She was just awesome. She was very smart, very attentive.
And that was also smart on your part, too.
Oh, she was great. But at any rate, we only had, it was getting to be around midnight, 12:30, and he had no way to get home. We had no way to move the truck because it was partially loaded. So I said, well, look, you know, stay here. Keep your clothes on. I'm definitely keeping mine on. We'll share the bed. And there was a blanket that we had to wrap furniture in the bedroom. So that was there. And around 3 o'clock in the morning, I heard a noise in the closet. And the closet was one of those that go over the entire wall with the sliding doors.
Right.
The big kind. Okay. So anyway, I heard
heavy doors. Yeah.
And my beautiful Doberman started barking in the living room, and I thought, oh no, something's going on. Well, she came in the bedroom, and I could see from the nightlight outside in the living room that she was really upset, and she was growling real low and standing right in the doorway. And I thought, well, there is something not right at all. And I started hearing noises from the closet.
Now, where's your friend while this is going on?
Well, you know how men sleep? He was dead to the world.
He was gone.
So I kept saying, Ralph, Ralph, wake up. Ralph, Ralph, there's something in the closet. And yeah, he thought, no, come on, you were dreaming. So at any rate, I finally got him awake, and he heard something in the closet. Now, at that point, my eyes were focused on the closet, and there was a chartreuse, eerie green light coming from the closet. And of course, my dog was just going crazy. And I started getting goosebumps all over me, and he was frightened. And, you know, he was a big guy.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't get frightened, but I was just scared. Well, I finally got to the light and turned it on, and there was nothing in the closet. I grabbed my Bible, started praying. My dog, and her hair was straight up all over her back. She was a wreck for about an hour.
Did the dog ever get close to the closet?
No, she would not move from the doorway. She would not move. She wouldn't come further in the bedroom, but she wouldn't leave, of course, either. That was the scariest thing that ever happened to me. And while I was there in that home, I had a truck stolen. I had all kinds of family problems. So it was a very, very odd experience, culminating in that night. So I dropped the boyfriend and moved out of the house, and that is the strangest, weirdest, scariest night of my life.
And did things change once you dropped the boyfriend?
Well, single gals don't have an easy time of it, but it was a lot easier.
I'm just wondering if he brought along some evil spirits with himself.
He may have. He was dabbling in some things that he shouldn't have been. So it's hard to tell, but either the house or he was carrying along an evil spirit. It was just awful.
Wow. Thanks for the story. Appreciate it. Let's go to our special line caller now in Ohio. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Whereabouts in Ohio are you?
From Mayberry RFD of the Midwest, Mansfield, Ohio.
All right.
Yeah, it's Doug. Story I had to relate to you goes back about, 3.5 years to April of 98.
All right, not too long ago.
Right. Yeah, I'm a kind of an avid fisherman, mainly in the springtime, because I like to fish for muskies. And one of the things they like to eat are these shiner chubs, you know? And
those are those little tiny fish, aren't they?
Well, they go about 3-4 inches long.
Yeah.
You know, so they're not too small. But they can be caught with little tiny redworms, okay?
Okay.
And that's what I was using that morning. So I teach me about 6 or 7 of them to take to the spillway to use, you know?
They look like little sardines, though, don't they?
Yeah, sort of like sardines, yeah. I never tried to eat one, though. But anyway, so I go to this one creek where I used to live. It was right across the lane from my driveway. There was this creek that ran along through there, and it's called the Rocky Fork.
Right.
Anyway, there's this woods that was all around our house. Okay, and there was this old dead tree that was hanging off the side of a kind of a little crevasse on the hill, you know, the base of the hill.
Yes.
And parts of its roots are sticking out. And I remember telling my ex-wife back in 1981, someday that tree is going to come falling down. And I says, I don't want to be around when it does. You know, because this tree is about like 80 feet high.
Oh, yeah, crash.
It was dead back then, okay? And this thing is monstrously huge, you know? And I remember also telling her that there was something stalking these woods, you know, because...
yeah, how did you know that?
Because every once in a while I would feel a presence, okay?
Okay.
And...
spiritual realm or something, you know. I didn't even finish the first paragraph before, you know, I kind of...
Oh, yeah, I would have dropped the book and that would have been it for me. Yeah.
Well, see... Art said, you know, you wanted something about, you know, an entity maybe attacking, you know, someone.
Yeah.
Well, this is kind of a long drawn out attack. This particular entity kind of followed me in those weird ways.
Did he ever hurt your mother?
Well, the story is my mom passed away about 15 years ago. The strange thing is after she passed away, we found out that she wasn't really my mother, and that I was illegally adopted in San Diego back in 1952. And
that must have crushed you.
Dark. Well, it was a trip. I was 35 when I found out. You know, it wasn't even a legal adoption. I don't know what the deal was, but. You know, she was into that spiritual stuff really a lot. Probably at the time, she was my mom. I didn't know any different. You know, I mean, it was just like, oh, we're going to play Parcheesi tonight? No, it was the Ouija board.
Well, you know, that's a bizarre story, though, to find out 30 years later that your mother's not your mother, but Omar. And you read about Omar being the keeper of the gate with the keys. Special line, welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, where are you calling from?
Cincinnati, Ohio.
What is your story?
Well, we've had two encounters with the devil himself.
Two direct encounters with the devil?
Two direct encounters.
Well, give me one for sure.
One for sure. Oh, I don't know which one to tell you. The first one's really, really short. My mother had fallen asleep watching TV back before cable.
Right.
And something had woke her up. And when she opened her eyes, the devil was staring right at her.
How did she know it was the devil?
Horns, you know.
Oh, yeah, he had it all, huh?
He had it all. You know, she started screaming bloody murder and woke everybody up in the house. And my aunt, who claimed to be a witch, came over to perform some sort of ceremony to rid the house of the devil. And it was really weird because our dog at that time refused to let me go turn on the TV. And every time I sat on a piece of furniture, she was in my lap. And we've had her for several years, so she knew better.
What did the TV have to do with it?
That's where my mom saw the devil standing by the television.
Oh, he was standing by the TV.
He was standing by the television. And then, you know, over the years, we've had various different encounters. Mostly my brother would see, you know, various shadows and things like that, possibly even shadow people. But about 20 years later, when my daughter was 2.5 years old and she was at my mother's house, my mother heard her laughing and giggling. And she walked in and asked her what she was doing. And she said she was playing with the man. He was being funny.
Oh, man, she's playing with the devil and laughing?
Playing with the devil and laughing. So my mother didn't think anything of it, and she left the room. And then she heard my daughter screaming. She went running back, and she asked her again, what's the matter? I mean, she's crying. She's in hysterics. And she said that, you know, she had said something about he had red fire. She didn't like him anymore. So my mother picked her up and tried to comfort her. But every time she tried to walk back into the living room where she was playing, she would scream and she would actually claw at my mother to get over her shoulder to get out of that room.
Her playmate, the devil, turned out to be literally a mean person, huh?
Yes.
Why your family?
I don't know. I mean, like I said, my aunt claimed to be a witch. I mean, she actually even went to the extent of buying my warts off me when I was a child, and they disappeared the next day. I don't know. I've talked to various people. The one lady who writes the books, The Haunted Ohio, she referred me to some ghost investigators, and they actually think that we have an aura about ourselves that we could possibly... some members of our family could possibly see the future or actually speak with the dead and none of us.
Yeah, but I tell you what, though, I'd want to find out why your family seems to be attracted to the devil and why it follows them around. Is it still happening?
We see, you get that out of the corner of your eye. When my father actually, he heard somebody walking around upstairs and run down the steps. And he looked at the steps and there's nobody there and he felt this burst of cold air rush past him.
Oh.
And he's been woken up in the middle of the night.
Hey, do me a favor. Wish everybody a great ghost to ghost tonight, would you? We're going to sign off.
I sure will. Everybody have a great ghost to ghost. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you. Hey, for Will Hilliard, Rondi Bussinger, Anna Vilka, Lisa Lyon, Delani Conrad, Howard Morton, Keith Rowland, Alan Corbett, and of course Art Bell, who would have loved to have been here for Ghost to Ghost tonight. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there, and thank you, because you made Ghost to Ghost what it is.